I've been defeated and brought down. Oh, drop to my knees when hope ran out. Oh, our time is gone to change my ways. But on this day, chance to chase a dream, another chance to feel, a chance to feel alive.
My name is Jack Peterson. I am Ajax. I'm Mr. Clean. I am Corona Guy. I am that nasty man. I am Sex Puck. I am the man of a thousand strongly worded wrestling opinions, and I am joined each and every week by the man sitting directly across the internet.
I am Phil. I'm Prince Havoc. I'm also the nasty man. Shout out to Nasty Leroy. And I am the winner of the WrestleMania predictions.
Well, that's a very good point. You are, in fact, the winner of the WrestleMania predictions, a point which I'm, you know, very sad about, obviously. We picked WrestleMania last week on the show. I was incredibly confident going into last weekend's WrestleMania that I was going to beat you in most of these matches. And, well, you beat me overwhelmingly. The first night, you had totally demolished me. And then the second night of WrestleMania, I started to climb up again. I got a lot of the first couple of picks over you. And by the end of the night, you still ended up winning. You know, Drew McIntyre ended up sending it home, and there was a point there where we could have tied in our points, and you ended up winning 12 points to 9 points. So congratulations, I guess.
Thank you.
Also, fuck you a little bit. I'm going to come back stronger. I'm going to beat you in the next picks that we have. Until then, I mean, I guess we should talk about WrestleMania. WrestleMania was a very interesting show. It was in front of an empty arena. There were no fans in the audience for the first time ever. It was also the first WrestleMania that was two nights long. They had two different shows, several matches on each show. And really, what did you think of WrestleMania this year?
I loved it. Honestly, if it was in front of a crowd, it would definitely be up there with my favorite WrestleManias. Honestly, it was really fun. And the matches were good, the storylines were cool, everything that they did was cool, but I feel like if it wasn't in front of a crowd, we wouldn't have had things like Firefly Funhouse match and like the Undertaker Boneyard match, or even the Randy Orton Edge match. So, yeah.
That's true. I feel like they did the best that they could with the empty arena thing, at least as far as incorporating matches like the Boneyard and like the Firefly Funhouse and like Edge and Randy Orton. It was very different than the typical WrestleMania matches. I really did not like the first night. I think that there were a lot of questionable booking decisions, if I may be Internet Guy for a minute. The wrong people won a lot of those matches.
Not really. The right people won.
Well, that's what you think, because you're the ones you picked. But I feel like I was screwed, because I feel like I picked the obvious winners in a lot of those matches on the first night. And, you know, you picked the obvious losers, and somehow your guys won. So, I don't know. A little pissed. But nonetheless, Daniel Bryan, who I picked, did not win over Sami Zayn, which I thought was strange. Becky Lynch somehow beat Shayna Baszler. I almost said Finn Balor.
I told you, there is no NXT trash coming in here taking the title from Becky Lynch, all right?
Well, see, you know, speaking of NXT trash, one of the matches you got wrong was I picked Charlotte Flair, you picked Rhea Ripley, and Charlotte ended up taking the NXT title home. What do you think about that?
That was really weird. I'm curious to see what she's going to do on NXT, though. Is she going to be good again? I mean, her matches are good, but, you know, nothing compares to her in NXT.
That's true. Same goes for
Bayley and Sasha.
Yeah. Well, see, I thought this match, the match they ended up having at WrestleMania, was probably, not counting the weird, like the Firefly Funhouse and the Boneyard match and stuff like that, not counting the weird pre-taped matches, I think that was the best match of WrestleMania. It was although I did have to turn the volume down at certain points, because, you know, my mom was in the next room, and the match sounded a little bit like I was watching porn on the big TV. There was a lot of grunting, a lot of strange noises, a lot of screaming coming from both women in this match. That was a little disconcerting for me. But did you like this match?
I liked the match. I did. I thought it was really cool. Rhea Ripley's attire shocked me. Like, it was weird at first, but like, I kind of got used to it as the match went on.
See, I think this was supposed to be a reference to some, like, I don't know, video game or an anime or something. People were talking about it and saying it was like some sort of reference. I have no idea what it was. All I know is she was dressed up as Lacey Evans, basically, right?
Basically.
It looked exactly the same as a Lacey Evans attire. Speaking of Lacey Evans, you picked Lacey Evans to win the elimination match for the SmackDown title, and she lost.
She was so close. Oh, I was so happy. That was fun. That
was closer
a fun
than my pick of Sasha Banks. That's true. Yeah. Bayley ended up retaining. This was a weird WrestleMania for like not as many title changes as you probably would have expected. Like Becky retained, Sami Zayn retained, Street Profits retained. I mean, we had a couple of title changes, like I was saying, the NXT Women's title. Both of the world titles changed hands, which I was not expecting, but you were.
Told you.
Yeah, you told me. It's true. If we go over the two world title matches, personally, I believe that both of those matches were garbage. Did you like Goldberg versus Strowman or Lesnar versus McIntyre?
I mean, they're not even matches. Exactly. They're really not. It's basically when you had a... when you would be able to put the how many finishers you can have in the game in, like, 2K. Remember in, like, 2K14? I don't remember if it kept going, but you were able to put, like, infinite finishers, and you just do finisher after finisher.
Yeah, or, like, you set the momentum high on your 2K18 match or whatever, and they just, yeah. It's...
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, it wasn't even a match.
Exactly.
It was a finisher pin.
Yeah, well, I think we can probably both agree McIntyre and Lesnar was way better than Goldberg and Strowman, because Goldberg Strowman was literally just four spears, kick out, four power slams, pin, and that was like the entire match. Whereas Lesnar McIntyre actually had a couple other moves. There were some suplexes and stuff like that. It still was basically the same match, and it was a more satisfying finish for me too, because I prefer McIntyre leaps and bounds over Strowman. I would prefer him to be champion than Braun Strowman, but. They're both champion now. Do you think this really means anything that drastic for Raw and SmackDown in the future?
I think it does. I think we're actually going to have our champions on the show now, and it'll be pretty cool. And Strowman, I'm curious to see who's actually going to beat Strowman and who's actually going to beat McIntyre.
Well, as far as Strowman, I feel like it seems a little obvious to me, because I think that they're Roman
really Reigns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think they're only doing this so they can have like a Reigns Strowman feud again, which those are always fun. They feuded like two different times in the past, and they're, you know, they're good matches and they're interesting segments, and I'm not finished with you and all that. So I would be excited to see them fight again, but we would know that it just ends with Roman Reigns winning the title.
It's just the same story all over again. I mean, like, it sucks because I feel like people are going to boo Roman Reigns now that he's fighting Strowman. Like, with him fighting Goldberg, it was perfect because he would have won the title at WrestleMania. He would have gotten cheered. It would have been a whole thing. But now I feel like he's just gonna get booed again.
That's probably true. I mean, unless they turn Strowman like ultra heel and try to really put effort into making him look like the bad guy.
What can they do to make people really hate him? He should punt a baby like Snitsky or something.
He should. He should start actually killing people on TV. Maybe that would work. I don't know. He should insult Roman's cancer or, you know, there's several things I feel like he could do.
And remember when Dean Ambrose was like, was it Dean Ambrose that said, like, he deserves to die, he deserves to get cancer or something like that?
Yeah.
It was so bad. Oh,
that
my
was
God.
The promo of the year, for sure. I thought that was great.
It was.
I mean,
Dean didn't like it, though. John didn't like
it. He didn't, that's true, he didn't like it. I feel like they should be a little bit more real like that more often. Like when Randy Orton said that Eddie Guerrero's in hell. I mean, it's
yeah.
These moments that... That, by the way, I should announce, not that I created it for any reason besides to just host our podcast feed, but we do have a website now. It's just a WordPress site. It's fightgeist.wordpress.com because I had to make it in order to propel these podcasts out into the universe again. But on that website, I quoted, they have these templates. At the bottom, you can pick quotes like what people are saying about the podcast. And I just picked a couple of my favorite wrestling quotes, and I put Eddie's in Hell at the bottom by Randy Orton. And because that's a classic line, you know, that should be talked about more often as a moment when Randy Orton really proved his worth on the microphone.
Oh man, Randy Orton, old Randy Orton is the best. Current Randy Orton is still the best, but you know, nothing compares to that old Randy Orton when he would come out to burn in my light and the freaking sparkle things, the sparks,
yeah.
He was classic. On steroids and stuff, and he was buff, looked jacked.
Classic Randy Orton, classic steroids.
Less tattoos.
Yeah, less. That's the only part I don't like. I feel like the full tattoo sleeves all down his arms, better look.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know, I always loved the tattoo sleeve, but I just always preferred the way he was before. I don't know, maybe because I grew up playing those video games with him without the tattoos, and watching him, I fell in love with him without the tattoos, and then he got it, and it was weird. It's still a little weird to me. I mean, it's been 10 years, 11 years since he got the tattoos. It's still to me. I don't know why.
I've only ever known him, I think. You've been a wrestling fan longer than me. I've only been a fan since I was 9, which would have been 2010.
So you knew him with the tattoos.
Exactly. I only ever knew him with the tattoo, except for old stuff I've gone back and watched, of course. But I feel like he's always, to me, been this guy with the long limbs, the really skinny guy, the Viper, you know, not the fucking big jacked steroid guy. And with the full tattoos and, you know, with the abs and no muscles anywhere else to be found. But, you know, that's the look I've always kind of seen him as, the Viper, the Predator or whatever.
I knew him as the Legend Killer.
Yeah, that's way better gimmick, too.
He smoked cigarettes.
Did he?
I remember seeing a video a long time ago on YouTube of Randy Orton asking a fan for it was a lighter or a cigarette or something like that. And it was going around. It wasn't it had to be 2008 or 2009 or something. Huh. Pretty funny.
I've never seen this before. Good time. Randy Orton did wrestle this week, this weekend at WrestleMania. He fought Edge. I think it was an emotional moment for every Edge head you and I watching.
Yes.
Edge returning to the ring for the first time. Well, really for the first time in 2 months since the Royal Rumble. But before that, 9 years, he has not been in a singles match WrestleMania in 2011. But there were some people online who I saw who didn't really like this match because they felt like it was just a lot of punching, a lot of brawling, it didn't feel as much like a blood feud like maybe it should have. But did you like this match?
I liked the match a lot. I heard, I can see where people were coming from. It was just a lot of punching, kneeing in the abdomen stuff, you know, bouncing their head off of other stuff. But it was cool. You don't see that too often, so I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
But people got mad because you remember when they were in the gym and he put them through Randy put Edge through the thing, that weight thing.
Right, right.
So people were saying that was the same thing that Chris Benoit hung himself with. And people were mad because they just dropped the Dark Side of the Ring, the Chris Benoit documentary thing. And people were saying, oh, it's so insensitive that they would include that in there because of what Chris Benoit did.
I hope that was a deliberate reference. I hope that they actually were you know what? I remember when Chris Benoit killed his family and then hung himself from the weight machine. Let's do that in a match at WrestleMania. I hope that's what the talk backstage was because that would be, I don't know. I like that. I like that callback.
That's a callback.
That's a callback to something they never called back to before.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that's probably not what they were intending to do. It did scare me, though. I mean, I don't know if you had the same reaction. I feel like any match where somebody comes back from a really bad injury and they are then hit in that injured body part a lot during the match, it always scares me. Even Randy Orton hitting Edge with an RKO at all because it's a neck move. That freaks me out because Edge has this broken neck hanging on by a thread.
I agree. I mean, apparently it's not even hanging on by it. I mean, apparently it's medically cleared.
Yeah.
But still, it's down the line, it might... he can't wrestle for another 10 years, probably.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know anything. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
But you know what's cool when he did when Edge climbed on the fence thing and dropped the elbow?
That was cool. That looked like he hurt himself more than he hurt Randy.
Oh, definitely. That was so random, that they had that up there. And it reminded me of, I think it's WrestleMania 17, when you would, when you get fired from, you get fired from WWE, and you have to do everything in your power to try to stop WrestleMania from happening, and you have to fight the security guards and, climb up the fences and stuff.
Are you talking about the video game?
Yeah, you throw them off the building and stuff. It's for GameCube.
I've never played that game. That actually sounds incredible.
oh, it's the best thing ever. It gets really hard, though. It really does get hard, but it's really fun.
Yeah, my favorite part of that I guess scene in that match was they go into the conference room, and for some reason, there's just a giant picture of the Revival hanging up in the conference room.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
So well, every time they go in and they have a meeting in that room, they're looking at the Revival, and then the Revival's never actually on TV. So I don't know how that correlates, but
yeah, that's bizarre. Weird. Maybe Edge put it there because he's friends with Dash Wilder.
I bet he did. Overall, WrestleMania was a show that I feel like was a fun show to watch. It was mostly enjoyable. I took issue with a couple of the matches, a couple of the results, but for the most part, I enjoyed it. And I think what people, on average, enjoyed the most out of both nights of WrestleMania were these pre-taped matches that we talk about. The Boneyard match, which, of course, we made our predictions video about. It's still on our YouTube. It's called AJ Styles versus Undertaker, WrestleMania 36 predictions. And it doesn't have nearly as many views as I would like it to have. But regardless, the event is over, so watch it if you want to. I think it's one of our best videos. Well, it is. It's one of our two best videos we ever made. Undertaker versus AJ Styles in the Boneyard match and Bray Wyatt versus John Cena in the Funhouse match, I think unanimously were everybody's favorite matches of the weekend. But for you, which one did you like better?
Definitely the Firefly Funhouse match. If you even call that a match.
That's true.
It was just really cool. The Boneyard match, I love. They reminded me of the Hardy Compound. Shout out to the Hardys for starting this whole trend of wrestling matches in like fields and stuff. They were the first ones to do that. Just saying.
More or less. I feel like the Hardcore Championship is more to thank. For
yeah, but not really. Like, Hardcore Championship, they didn't have edits and stuff like that.
True.
Like,
true.
The Hardy Compound, like, he would go into the Lake of Reincarnation and come out as, like, Willow and stuff. That was in there. Had the fireworks and, like, the boat.
Yeah, the dilapidated boat.
Like, I'm annoyed because, like, they're kind of taking the Hardys thing, but at the same time, eventually people take stuff from other people.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it goes. And I thought it was pretty cool. The first time they did this, WWE tried to do this when the Hardys were doing their whole compound matches in TNA. Remember, didn't they do it with, like, the New Day and, like, the White Family? That kind of sucked. It was kind of
cool, did suck.
But it kind of sucked.
Everybody seems to forget that one. Whenever they reference the Hardy stuff in WWE, they only ever reference, like, the House of Horrors being a ripoff and, like, the later Ultimate Deletion stuff. But nobody ever remembers that New Day match. That was trash.
Yeah, that was trash. Kind of. It was pretty trash. But actually, I just feel like the Hardys should get the credit, but I enjoy it. WWE should do this more often. All wrestling promotions should do this more often, but the Hardys should get that credit, man.
It's true. I think they're going to have to do it more often, at least for the next month or so when everything's locked down and they can't have fans in the crowd. It's a good alternative, yeah.
It's a new time in wrestling. It's great.
It is. I mean, it's temporary, but hopefully they continue doing stuff like this in the future because, I mean, This was the best stuff of the weekend was the Boneyard and the Firefly Funhouse match. I also think I like the Funhouse match better. The Boneyard match was really a match, and the Funhouse match wasn't really a match, but...
Oh, man. Let me talk about that.
Okay.
That was the coolest thing in the world, honestly. I was shocked at the callbacks that they had.
Dude, yeah.
They had Saturday Night Main Event. They had WCW Nitro. What was the other thing? Basic Thugonomics. They had that old John Cena with the rap battles. The rap battle was so cool.
I like that.
It wasn't PG, you know?
Right, you called him a slut on WrestleMania. What the fuck?
Basically.
And then Vince McMahon puppet said shit.
Yeah, oh my god. The callback to that, that's good shit. Oh man. I'm shocked that they would even say that.
It's crazy.
Because WWE, they would never ever mention anything like that.
Yeah, they're not just saying it on a random episode of Raw either. They're saying it on WrestleMania.
That blew my mind.
That was pretty sick.
That blew my mind. I marked out when I heard that.
Yeah. Me too. My favorite thing about wrestling is when they reference the characters' histories, because they don't do it nearly as often when they reference the past rivalries and stuff like that, and they actually go into these characters, because ultimately wrestling's about the characters. That, you know, the matches are what people the end game, and they're what people kind of like to see the most, I think. But like, it's about the characters interacting with each other, and WWE, at least especially right now, doesn't nearly enough talk about these older feuds that happen. They don't nearly enough talk about the the histories of these characters. Like with Edge and Randy Orton, they did a good job building up to the match, because they talked about everything basically these characters have been through with each other ever, And with Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, they did a good job of it in the build as well. Undertaker and AJ Styles, they kind of did it as well. But most of the time, maybe when they're doing their half-assed shows in front of crowds, they don't focus on these characters' relationships. So when they go back into John Cena's history and they show all the incarnations of him and they show the SmackDown fist on the stage and they show CM Punk
yeah.
and show his losses to Edge and his, you know, his whole character history and talk about how, you know, basically I think the message of that Bray Wyatt was trying to tell Cena is that he's been the heel the whole time. He's been burying people. He's never seeing his true self, all while he's trying to be this super Cena hero. And I love that whole idea.
It's beautiful.
So I hope in the future they do more stuff like this where they really talk about the character histories, because that's the most compelling part of wrestling for me.
That's the best thing ever. Like, honestly, they need to do that more often. Because, like, for people like us that have been watching for a long time, callbacks like that are every, at least to me, they're everything. They are everything. And, dude, when they showed CM Punk on the on the Firefly Funhouse, that was insane. They even showed, like, the little clip of ECW One Night Stand.
Yeah. If Cena wins, we riot, yeah.
Yeah, that was so cool. It was really the coolest thing ever. I wish it was longer.
I know, right? It was, like, 15 minutes long. I could have watched that for a full hour. That was, like, it was perfect.
They totally need to do that more often.
They really do.
That's what I want to do with wrestling. Like, stuff
I know,
like that.
Exactly, right? See, if I were ever... I've been thinking about this a lot recently, actually. If I were ever a writer for wrestling, or if I were ever a booker or a promoter or something like this, or even a wrestler, I feel like I don't know how I could wrestle without or be a part of the industry without writing characters as characters. You know what I mean? Like WWE, they have these characters that are just interchangeable. You can get rid of them. I couldn't write if I were a writer. I could not write a single promo for a wrestler that didn't involve their past, their history, or whatever. I feel like that's just so much more interesting, and I feel like that's all I want out of wrestling.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. That's all I want out of wrestling. There's nothing like a callback where they like talk about their past and stuff. Like, I'm trying to think of times when it would have been really interesting. Hold on. Speaking of like callbacks and stuff, you know Chris Jericho has tattoos of himself?
Of himself? Like,
of himself in different eras. Like, he has a tattoo, but they're all, I think they're all dead if I'm correct. Like, he has him in like WCW, he has him in WWF, he has him in like 2009. Like, he has all the different versions of Jericho on his arm. It's pretty cool.
Really? I've never heard of this before. This is insane.
There's some YouTube video where he goes in depth about his tattoos, and I never even noticed it, but that's pretty cool.
The amount of tattoos Chris Jericho has gotten in the last couple of years, too, is insane. He didn't have any tattoos, like, until probably 2014 or something like that. And then all of a sudden, he's just got a full arm. He's got tattoos everywhere. It's impressive.
I feel like it's going to be me, because I still have no clue what I want.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like I'm never going to know what I want until I'm 40.
Yeah, and then you just get, you know, tattoos all over your body, like a white trash or a hick or something.
Yes,
I'm seeing these tattoos right now, and these are pretty sick. These old versions really of Jericho. Cool.
He has Kiss. He has like the Police. He has what else? He has a bunch of band stuff and music stuff, and he has like his wrestling stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks like he's putting himself in the Walls of Jericho in this one. It's pretty dope. Chris, speaking of Chris Jericho, he was on commentary on AEW this week.
So good.
He's got to be the best guest commentator they've had. I like Cody on commentary, but I think nothing compares to Jericho.
Nothing. I love Cody on commentary. I didn't realize how good he was at commentary, but nothing compares to Jericho.
Yeah, my favorite line was during the Cody and Sean Spears match. He says, Cody was trying to get Sean Spears' logo tattooed onto his neck, but the artist was drunk. But it's so accurate, because those logos are almost the same. I've never noticed that. But it's like the weird, like almost like a Canadian leaf with a skull inside. It's the same thing. But
it's so perfect.
It's great.
Something... I like when he, you know how Kenny did the dive? What's it called? Not the dive. When you, like, you hold onto the rope and then, like, you, while holding onto the rope, you jump out the ring and land.
Oh, plancha, I believe it's called.
Yeah. He was like, oh, we call that a house show dive. I thought that was so stupid.
Because it's safer, right?
Yeah, it's safer. It's so stupid. A house show dive.
He also, another line that was great was when Sean Spears kicked out of the Crossroads, Tony Schiavone Schiavone goes, look at Brandy's face. She can't believe it. And Jericho's like, look at my face.
But Jericho's amazing.
He's incredible.
He's the best.
Now, speaking of that match. What's up?
Britt Baker had a good match. She got busted
open. That match was insane. She got busted open all over the place. I feel like there were at least two different shots on her face that busted her open.
Yeah.
It was brutal. I love that. It was brittle.
Brittle.
Because her name's...
I was just brittle. Tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. So, speaking of that match between Cody and Shawn Spears, it was a first-round match in this TNT title tournament, which is looking quite interesting. I think we probably both would have... Had we predicted this match, we would have both probably said that Cody was going to win, and he did win in advance. So, since the coronavirus has caused a lot of shows to be canceled, as far as we know, the next pay-per-view that's going to happen in wrestling, period, is Money in the Bank, which is, I think, May 10th. So we're not going to be able to add to this prediction game we've been doing until then, unless we do something like this. We're going to be predicting the TNT Championship Tournament, which culminates way down the line, but since one match has already happened in the first round, we have three more matches in the first round, and then we're going to also decide on who we think is going to win the whole tournament. Hopefully, if we disagree on enough matches here, I can get my lead back, and I can climb from 3 points below to maybe 1 point above you.
Probably not, but you know, you can try.
We'll see. We'll see. I think I will, but that's just me. So the tournament involves 8 guys. I kind of wish it had been a bigger tournament. I like 16-man, 32-man tournaments and stuff like that. But, you know, whatever.
It would have been nice, actually, like that. Like, even to add people like Joey Janela in it or something like that.
Yeah, they could have put everybody in this.
Even though he probably won't win because he's, like, only a dark guy right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it would have been pretty cool.
Maybe it's because they didn't want to have so many wrestlers on the show because a lot of them, they just let them stay home, you know, during the quarantine.
True, yeah.
But regardless, there's 8 wrestlers, and I feel like there's a few of them who could viably win the whole tournament. We're going to go match by match here. Dustin Rhodes versus Kip Sabian. Who's winning this match?
It's hard. It is kind of hard, but I think I'm going to... You know, I had the decision, but now I'm thinking about it.
Mm.
Dustin Rhodes actually does have, like, good matches. And, like, he could win. He could win the match.
He could. He could win the tournament. I can see that.
Yeah, he's not just like an old pushover. Like, he's actually good.
Yeah.
That's pretty shocking how good he is. I really enjoy him in the ring, but...
So you were set on Kip Sabian. You thought Kip Sabian was going to win until you're reconsidering now.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it right now. Like, I don't know, something just like... Everything that Dustin Rhodes has done in AEW just flashed before my eyes right now. I'm going to go with Dustin Rhodes.
Really? Okay, well, you know what? I'm also going with Dustin Rhodes. So
awesome.
I guess we don't disagree on that first match, but maybe we'll disagree here. Probably not, actually, now that I'm looking at it. Lance Archer, who has just recently debuted, he's going up against the undefeated Colt Cabana.
There's no way Lance Archer is going to lose to Colt Cabana.
I see only one option for Lance Archer to lose here, and that's that somehow Cody costs him the match in some way or another, and Colt Cabana and Kip Sabian, who are also feuding, if they both win their matches and go on to face each other.
True, that can happen.
It could happen. It feels a lot less appealing. It feels like it wouldn't matter as much, but it could happen.
Dustin Rhodes is on the other side and Cody's on the other side. They're on two different sides,
Dustin and Cody are on opposite sides, yeah.
It could be Dustin and Cody.
In the finals. It could be.
What did he say in the match? I want my brother.
I want my brother.
Oh, man, that's great.
Awesome.
Dude, I'm being the elite. The Young Bucks used to, like, constantly make fun of that every episode. They would have, like, ketchup on. They would pour ketchup on them and
that's awesome.
Reenact the whole thing. Stuff like that. Like, it's so stupid.
Well,
I want my brother.
Do you think Cody will get his brother in the finals? You think Dustin is going to go all the way?
It can happen, and Cody could win the whole thing because he's not able to challenge for the AEW title.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't be mad about. A lot of people are kind of mad about that, but, like, I don't know. In my eyes, AEW can never do wrong, and it makes complete sense. Dustin and Cody Rhodes facing the two brothers facing, and what if that's Dustin's last match?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I could see that happening, but that would entail Dustin beating either Lance Archer or Colt Cabana. Which of those two do you think is going to win this match?
Lance Archer's winning.
Yeah, I got Lance Archer too. I think that's an easy one.
He's been looking good. He's cool. I like him.
Yeah, and with Jake the Snake at ringside, I mean, have you seen Jake the Snake's Twitter, by the way?
I haven't seen his Twitter, no.
Oh, he's, like, depressed.
Really?
He's, like...
Is he, like, Max Murder?
He's going all Max Murder. He absolutely is.
Dude, Max Murder's Instagram is just horrible.
He's so sad all the time. And, of course, if you, like we are fans of the whole fucking show, you know who Max Murder is. If not,
TWFS.
Educate yourself.
Yeah, totally. Look up TWFS, the whole effing show, Kevin Scampoli.
Yeah,
on YouTube.
And follow Max Murder 505 on Instagram for.
Oh yeah, it's so bad. If you want to ruin your day, follow him.
So Jake the Snake, this is actually a little bit scary. He seems on TV like he's totally cool. He's, you know, he's sober now, right? He's like, not the Jake the Snake he used to be. He's not coming to the ring drunk, but what he is doing is he's tweeting. Things like this. This is the first one, which went a little bit viral. He says, getting tough being alone all the time. Hotel room keeps shrinking. Jealous of those with family or partners. Still sober.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's sad.
But I wonder where his daughter is, because I remember like he didn't get along with, like he wasn't there for his daughter.
Yeah.
I forgot if it was like Beyond the Ring or whatever.
Beyond the Mat, yeah.
Beyond the Mat, I think that was it, where like they showed his daughter.
She wouldn't talk to him, right?
Yeah, it was like that whole thing. I wonder if that's still going on.
I wonder. I don't know. I mean, I know he's turned his life around. He's like with DDP Yoga and everything like that. That's good. He feels like he's a new person, but he's definitely not living the dream. Even though he's got an AEW contract, because he wasn't done there. He didn't just say that his hotel room is shrinking. He also says, "What do you hate the most about the pandemic? The weight that's been piling on. Depression always puts the pounds on. Help?" ? And then he tags wrestlingnewssource.com, he tags WWE Network, and he tags DDP Yoga.
Red flag. I'm scared.
It's a little bit of a flight risk here.
He needs to call up one of the boys. He needs to hang out with Kenny Omega or something.
Yeah. Lance Archer, his own, his protege, responded to that tweet saying, stay strong, brother. God bless always. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are depressed right now because of the pandemic and they're stuck inside and all that, but it's scaring me a little bit.
If you are depressed, go on the PlayStation Store and buy a bunch of games for cheap. For $20, I bought GTA Vice City, I bought Max Payne, and I bought the original Doom. And it's the best time ever. And there's so many games on sale right now, you should go do that. That's enough of my PlayStation plug. PlayStation Spring Sale plug.
Well, if you are feeling depressed during the pandemic, just remember you're not the most depressed person in the room, because you can always go to Jake the Snake's Twitter and read gems like this. Remember, dying is easy. What is hard is being with the ones you love. Yes, they need me, and I'll be there.
Wow.
Jeez.
All right.
This is really depressing me. Okay, well, so turn it around a little bit. He also says, OMG, wait until you see the new look I've come up with. It's the coolest thing since leather pants. A trendsetter. Damn, I look good. If I were a girl, I'd do me.
Oh, all right.
Would you do Jake the Snake?
As a girl or right now?
Right now.
1989
Jake the Snake?
Why not?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Put a better wig on, though, and some perfume. Shave the mustache.
Yeah. With the snake or without the snake?
Well, with the snake, come on.
Yeah, I mean, that adds to the experience, I think, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, gross. So, his protege, Lance Archer, will advance. We both agree with this. And it's starting to look like neither of us is going to gain too many points over the other in this TNT tournament predictions. But here's the thing. This match might be a little harder to predict. Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, one-on-one. They had a match at Revolution, and Darby Allin won that one, right? So.
Yep.
It's up to Sammy Guevara to come back. The winner of this, we know now, will face Cody in the second round. Who do you have?
Those are both my boys. I love them both so much.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Darby Allin because he's kind of been on a roll lately.
Mm.
And Sammy Guevara's kind of been on a roll, but he's lost some too. Like, I don't know. I feel like it would make sense, Cody versus Sammy, you know, the classic Elite versus Inner Circle. But Darby versus Cody would be very interesting.
Yeah.
And considering that what do you call it? He punched him, remember?
He did punch him, that's true. It seems to be like foreshadowing.
Yeah. So, I'm going to go with Darby.
You're going to go with Darby. You know, my original pick was Darby, but I feel like when you talk about it like that way, I think I might change my mind. Because the thing is, we do have this Inner Circle versus Elite match coming up, this Blood and Guts match somewhere down the line. So they do want to promote that, kind of hype that up. So you would think they'd have an Elite versus a Inner Circle guy. And also the other thing is that, I mean, AEW doesn't really do 50-50 booking like WWE does. They don't have one guy win, the other guy win, the other guy win, the other guy win. But they do it enough. Usually when you see a series of matches. What's that?
You got to remember, it's wrestling.
It is. You kind of have to. You have to protect both
guys.
That's
why I said the whole WrestleMania prediction
episode.
It's wrestling, man.
It's wrestling. Exactly. So with my wrestling math, I think I'm going to pick Sammy Guevara just because he lost last time.
Your wrestling math is all wrong, man.
You think?
Look at the results. 12 for WrestleMania.
That's a really good point.
I got 12. You got a single digit, you know?
It was almost a double digit. 9 is one away. It's close.
But it's still a single digit.
Yeah, that's true. So far...
You basically got one right.
Huh?
You basically got one right.
I didn't basically get one right.
You rounded all up.
As far as the matches that we picked differently from each other, I got 3 right over you.
Not good enough.
Well, I picked Kevin Owens, I picked Otis, and I picked Charlotte. And you picked the opposite.
To be fair, I knew Otis and Owens were going to win, but I couldn't go against Seth Rollins because that's my guy, and I love Ziggler.
You say
but
that
actually,
now.
I texted Jack during the Otis and Ziggler match after watching the whole pre-match video thing, right? And I was like, wow, I feel bad for Otis. I want him to win.
Yeah, well, I mean, you say that now, but, you know, before the match happened, you said it was Dolph, and you said he was going to go on to challenge Drew McIntyre for the belt, even though they're opposite brands. So here's the thing. I mean, ultimately, I got 3 over you. You got 6 over me. So regardless, I lost very badly.
So this basically, time, I'm right. Your wrestling math is all wrong.
It could be. But yours also could be wrong. I feel like I'm making a more daring pick here. I think Darby Allin seems like the obvious choice. And I think Sammy Guevara could be what turns it around for me. We're both going to agree on Dustin and Lance Archer. So we'll either both get the point or neither of us will get the point. But with this one, one of us has to get it. So I think this could be where it turns around for me.
I think I'm going to win. I think I'm going to predict every match correct. And you're not. Well, actually, we have the same prediction for Dustin and Archer.
Yeah, so I have to get at least two right.
Predictions, you're going to lose.
Fair enough. Well, then who's going to win the actual tournament? For you, you believe it's going to be either Dustin Rhodes, Lance Archer, Darby Allin, or Cody Rhodes. So, but for me, I think it's Dustin, Archer, Cody, or Sammy. Who is winning this tournament?
That's very hard. It could easily be Cody, like I said. Could be Dustin because, like, he, I don't know. It could be him because, like, even in WWE, he didn't really get titles and stuff like that, and it's his time kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Lance Archer's on a roll, and Darby Allin's on a roll. So let me think. Darby, Archer. I'm gonna go with Darby Allin.
I'm just gonna go with Darby Allin. Well, so that would be pretty embarrassing for you if you picked him to win the whole tournament, and then I win with Sammy in the first round, huh?
Well, that's not gonna happen, but you know.
Here's what I think is gonna happen. I think Darby Allin's not going to win. I think we are going to have a victory from Mr. Lance Archer. I think it's going to come down to Cody and Lance Archer because they've been feuding. And I think Lance is going to win because we all expect, I mean, except for you, we all expect Cody's winning the tournament. So Lance, I think, is going to swerve us. And I think Lance will be the first ever TNT champion. And that will happen at Double or Nothing.
Both our picks are pretty risky, honestly.
I feel like Cody's the safe choice and neither of us picked him.
Cody is a complete safe choice, but... I don't know. Darby's been on a roll. I feel like Darby's been looking great lately. And he could win it all.
He could win it all.
I think it will.
So
it'll be like a Daniel Bryan underdog type of thing. Because, like, these are all big guys. Like, Dustin is, like, what, 6'6"? Archer is, like, 6'7". And Cody is, like, 6'4". And Darby is, like, 5'8". It could be a Daniel Bryan story.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Daniel Bryan, and really speaking of these Cinderella stories in general, wrestling is a funny thing. You know wrestling, right? You've heard of this?
Elaborate.
Two guys, sweaty, oiled up, fight in a ring.
The fake thing?
No, that's football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So wrestling is a sport that we both love. It's also a sport that I feel like if you told somebody, an average person, I mean, most of the time you tell a person you're a wrestling fan, they'll be like, oh, that fake shit. But if you told somebody that you cried, that you shed a tear at a wrestling match or a wrestling moment, I think most people would think you were out of your mind.
Basically.
But here's the thing. I think a trait we both share, and a trait probably every wrestling fan shares, is we both have cried multiple times at wrestling. This is the thing that's happened.
Yep.
No doubt. How many times have you shed tears at wrestling?
Okay. So, I have about... I'm going to say four times. It actually kind of came out. And then I actually have six times that it was just very emotional. Very emotional time.
Now, are these separate, six separate times or two other than the first four?
Six separate times.
Really? Oh, shit.
So I added to the list while we were talking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Let's go through those real quick. The ones that you are not counting as ones you've actually shed tears, but the six honorable mentions.
Okay. Seth Rollins winning the title at WrestleMania 1. Awesome. WrestleMania 31. Yeah. That is my guy. That's always been my guy. Back then, it was like, what? I don't know. I was young. I think it was my freshman year of high school or something like that. But, you know, I was younger. And I was, like, heavy on Seth Rollins. I still am, but it was way different. I had such a connection with him. And watching him win that title, oh, my God. I was so happy. I could have cried tears of joy right there. The next one was actually AEW Revolution.
Oh God, the tag match?
Not only the tag match. It was pretty much everything that happened that night. And then the tag match is like made even more emotional than Jon Moxley winning the title. And even by the end, it was just like, oh man, it was like so inspirational. Like I was like, oh man, oh my God, I just want to go back to wrestling, this and that. And, yeah, like, something about Jon Moxley winning that title at the end was, like, the cherry on top. And just seeing him win the title as Jon Moxley, something that we've all wanted for years since he's been in WWE. And, yeah, I was just, watching his come up through WWE and everything and seeing him finally return to Jon Moxley and win the title, it was a whole thing.
Okay, I can see that.
And just seeing everybody, knowing everybody that's in AEW and seeing a real pay-per-view with all the dudes that like I've been watching for years on the independent circuit, it was just a whole thing. Sure. Oh my God. Edge 24,
oh.
After WrestleMania, you watched it, Jack. Yep. Very emotional. Jesus Christ. If you haven't watched it, you should totally watch it. Seth Rollins getting injured in 2016, his knee having to forfeit the title. That was the worst thing ever. I wanted to cry.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Jeff Hardy leaving the WWE in 2009. That hurt my soul because I was a huge Jeff Hardy fan, still am. And Jeff Hardy returning at WrestleMania because I never thought he would actually be back in WWE.
Are those your six?
Those are my six.
Okay, so those are your times when you almost cried. You were emotional. And I can agree with most of those for sure. Those are either sad moments or very moments of elation, you might say.
Yes.
Now, if we get to these times when we've actually shed tears out of our physical eyes, we both have four. We have four moments each.
Yes.
And I'll tell you this much: two of mine have happened this year, and they're related to something you mentioned. First of all, there is this Edge 24, the matter of this Edge 24. I watched this right after WrestleMania. It came on after WrestleMania. I watched it, and I was like, this, from the beginning, when they showed the clip of him retiring, I was like, I am going to cry at the end of this. And that's exactly what happened, because Edge is my second favorite wrestler of all time. And I, you know, the journey from the lowest point when he had to retire for due to his neck injury, all the way up, climbing, as the movie says, the second mountain and climbing back to the top and debuting again in the Royal Rumble. Holy shit, when he came out and when Beth Phoenix was crying backstage and they showed her backstage and he was almost crying as he was walking out, oh, here came the waterworks right there.
Oh my God. Dude, let me say one more thing about that Edge 24. Honestly, it can be in the times that I had to wipe my eyes.
Yeah,
I'll say. Rewatching the retirement speech, because I haven't watched it since it happened. It was happening again. The waters were happening again, and it was
exactly
sad. And even watching him take the bump, falling off the bike, and then getting back up and saying, "I feel fine," and watching him train with Beth in the ring, and before he went out for his match, just everything. It was just, oh, his mom dying. Oh my God!
Oh, it's beautiful. Looking the end right there. Drawings. Jesus. When it showed the end and it was like dedicated to his mom, I was like, oh shit.
The drawings he found in the box of Christian.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God.
That's the wrestler I want to be, is Edge. I mean, I love Chris Jericho, but I'll be honest, Chris Jericho has never made me cry. Edge has made me cry 3 times. So,
you know what? I just added something to the list.
Did you?
Now that you mentioned Chris Jericho, I just remembered.
Really? Chris Jericho's made you cry? What happened?
Mm-hmm. The Festival of Friendship.
Oh, really? Damn.
Yeah, man. That was heartbreaking times.
See, I didn't react to that as much because I felt like it was I could see it coming a lot better.
It was just, I enjoyed it so much. Enjoyed it so much that to watch it end, why is my name on the list? Oh, God.
I am with you there. That was emotional. But for me, still, there's... Chris Jericho is ranked number one. We went through our top five all time in the first episode.
Chris Jericho's number one.
He's my number one. He's both of our number ones of all time.
Yeah.
But Edge is my number two. And, I've had these emotional reactions to him far more times than Chris Jericho. Because the two of my other times that I have cried watching wrestling are Edge's retirement, which I mentioned.
Yes.
I was 10 years old, so that's part of it.
Yes.
But I did shed tears. I counted when I was watching the 24, I shed 3 individual tears during that episode.
Wow.
I counted. And the other time was when Edge returned this year. The look on his face when he walked through the curtain. My God.
Okay. Actually, that could be one of my honorable mentions when he returned. I was in Buffalo Wild Wings, packed with a bunch of wrestling fans, and we went wild when we heard his, "You think you know me?" Oh my God,
yeah. I was like, because I had heard, I see these rumors online and stuff. It was like, oh, Edge might actually be able to return. And I was like, what? I mean, that's bullshit. And then, I started to think about it. And I'm like, wait, well, Daniel Bryan returned. It totally could happen. But I sort of wrote it off as like, it's probably not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would probably happen like a year from now or something. And then the Royal Rumble happens. And I'm like, well, we're in the last couple entrants. If Edge is going to come, he's going to come right now. And then, you think you know me? And, holy shit. There's a reason why I put a cover of his theme song at the top of this episode as our pre-intro. Because he is a beautiful man. And every time he comes to the ring, I'm bawling my eyes out like a little baby.
I like Edge like 15,000 times more after watching the 24.
Absolutely. He's very relatable. The other time that I have cried watching wrestling, I feel like this is also one that a lot of people can relate to.
Let's hear it.
It's not an actual match or anything like that, but it was when Daniel Bryan retired.
Oh, I didn't care.
You didn't care because you hate him.
I'm lying. I cared. It hurt. It did hurt me. But I wasn't going to cry about it. But it did hurt me, like watching him. Yeah. And like, just as a wrestler, like, you could feel the pain. You know what I mean? It's sad.
See, they announced it earlier that day, basically. They were like, Daniel Bryan has an announcement to make. It had been a year since he'd had a match. So everybody was kind of like, oh, he's going to retire. So I could see it coming more. So it wasn't as emotional as like Edge retiring. But when he walks out there and he's like, I have to retire, I was just frozen, like, well, I mean, come on. He's had, like, no career. His career is, like, 5 years long in WWE. This can't be happening right now. And I was like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to cry at this. This is an Edge retiring. And then at the end, when he's talking about how his dad died and he's talking about how all he ever wanted to do was wrestling and he didn't want to watch other people wrestle because it would make him, like, jealous of it, he was like,
yeah.
It's like, holy shit. His whole life's dream is over. And, yeah, I cried. I did. I was 15 at the time, but I cried.
Yeah.
All minute. Now, what are your times besides Edge stuff?
Edge. Oh, man. That 24, I feel like if I didn't wipe, it would have came down. But Edge retirement speech, of course.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't even like. I hate watching it back. Even now, knowing that he's back, like
it's painful. Yeah.
That was my favorite. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. Here's the other one. One that you didn't say. It might shock you. HBK losing at WrestleMania to Taker.
Yeah.
And him. Them saying, oh, his last match, having to retire, this and that. Like, seeing him wave goodbye with the tears in his eyes, this and that.
Oh my
God. I was like, I was young. I don't know how old I was. 10, 11, 12, something like that. But, oh my God. I was so sad because I liked Shawn Michaels a lot. Oh, man.
Yeah.
The tears came out. It did.
The only reason I didn't cry at that one is because I actually started watching wrestling after that happened. Like, 2 months after that happened.
So oh, okay.
I watched it back, and I was like, holy shit, this is really sad. I would be a lot more invested if I had known Shawn Michaels better. He later became one of my favorite wrestlers. But for me at the time, I like barely knew who he was.
Cause I knew him like from DX and like even in like 2008, 2009 when DX came back, I thought they were the coolest thing in the world. And like even then back then in like 08, 09, I would go back and watch the old stuff. And I was like, I was loving Shawn Michaels. And then he had to retire. Oh my God, sad times. Okay, next one. Which one should I do first? I'm going to do this one. Undertaker losing at WrestleMania to Brock Lesnar.
Oh, really? To Lesnar? Okay.
I remember I put a sweater over my head. Like, I was, like, really mad. And then, like, it was, like, the tears just came. And I was like, yo, I'm really crying right now. Like, oh, my God. That was very, very sad. That was very sad. Because Undertaker was also one of my first favorites ever. And to watch him lose... And like that, and to Brock Lesnar, like, I hated that so much. I still don't like watching it back. Like, it makes me sad. And then the other one, you're probably gonna laugh, but the Shield breaking up.
Oh no! See, I can see that. I can see that.
The Shield was my everything. I cared about them so much. It was like those are my three favorite guys. Seth, Dean, and Roman.
Yeah.
I love the Shield. I love everything that they were about. And to watch Seth do that, oh, man, I will never forget that. Like, I remember where I was. I remember I was tired, too, and I was dozing off. And then I see, boom, chair shot, and I'm like, and I couldn't sleep. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Time. But, yeah, those are my times. Those are my times.
I will never forget that, and I will never forgive Seth Rollins for that either. Ultimately... we have both cried at wrestling several times. We can admit it, right? We're men. We can admit it.
Yeah.
And it seems like a weird thing on the surface to cry about, wrestling. But really, it's our favorite thing for a reason. We get emotional watching wrestling. And that's just how it is and how it's always going to be. I cried at wrestling a few days ago.
You did?
Yeah, at Edge. So.
I didn't expect that. I didn't even expect the Edge to, like, do me like that. That hit differently.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Saturn counterpart. Oh, my God.
Well, if you're as big a wrestling fan as us, then I hope you'll continue to join us each and every week on Fight Geist, the Alternative Wrestling Podcast. My name is Jack Peterson. I'm Ajax. I'm Mr. Clean. I'm Sex Pac. I'm a Hall of Famer with the hard R. I'm that nasty man. I am the man of 1,000 strongly worded wrestling opinions. And I am joined each and every week by the Havoc Man himself.
I am Prince Havoc. I'm Phil. I'm Mr. Predictions himself. I'm also very cool. I love wrestling, and I cried about it before, and I don't care who knows, damn it. Follow me on Instagram, Prince Havoc. Like I said before, it's Prince Havoc with a one instead of the I and a K instead of the C. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch. I go live on Twitch. I have very few followers. I have 15 followers on Twitch. But stop by, say hi. I'll be having fun on that this whole quarantine. And yeah, hope you enjoyed this episode.
And you can follow me on Instagram at AjaxLP. That's AjaxLP. You can follow me on Twitter at AjaxLP12. And more importantly than any of that, you can follow us at Fight Geist Wrestling on Instagram, Fight Geist Pod on Twitter. You can email us at fightgeistwrestling@gmail.com. You can visit our YouTube, which is our most important mode of exporting this podcast. We put out our videos there. We might have another one this week. We put out our full podcast episodes. And we have our podcast there on YouTube. That's Fight Geist. We are on iTunes. We are on Spotify. We are on Stitcher. We are on, I think we're not on SoundCloud anymore. But we are on Google Play, Google Podcasts, and maybe one day more platforms. But for now, You can follow us where you get your podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and you can stay tuned this week, next week, and forever to Fight Geist, the alternative wrestling podcast. You got your finger up.
Also, yes, also one more thing. Feel free to DM us or email us. Tell us times you've cried. Ask us questions. Tell us anything. We'll share it on the show, and it'll be a good time.
Exactly. Well, anything you send us, we will read on the show because we are so small at the moment. We're not afraid to admit it. We're a small show, but we're growing. We're going up, and we'll continue to rise. This is only episode 4. One day we'll be the biggest wrestling podcast in the world, I promise you. But for now, we are still the alternative. So stay tuned to Fight Geist. We'll see you next week.